Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, babe!
What is up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? You have joined us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Welcome back to the show. Thank you all so much for joining us. If it's your first time, hi, how did you find us? Let me tell you a little bit about what we do. We are the show that dives into the discography and catalog of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen, and we do it one track at a time. I am your co-host, a very tired Mark Kammeyer, but with me as always, a very energetic, maybe, Corey Morissette. Are you energetic, Corey?
Yes. Because I am very, very excited about tonight's special guest. This is a first for us on End the Podcast for Rock. Normally, we bring on guests and we spin the wheel and we talk about a Van Halen song. But tonight, we're dedicating the whole show to a new book. Tonight, we are welcoming the authors of Pictures Alive, Rock Shows of the 80s and Beyond. Please help me welcome Steve Roney and Scott Davis. How's it going, gentlemen?
Hey, guys.
Thanks
good.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
Our pleasure. This is a fantastic book, Pictures Alive, Rock Shows of the 80s and Beyond. Maybe let's start with Scott. Tell us a little bit about the book, and more importantly, where can people buy it?
Sure. So Steve and I put together this book based on all his never-seen-before photographs. These truly are never seen before. I mean, Steve took all these himself, sneaking his camera into all these shows, basically from 81 to 86, and then some of the following years in the 2000s. The book is $29.95. It's over 300 full color pages, over 400 never seen before photos. You can get it at picturesalive.net. You can get it on Amazon. You can even find it on eBay. And like I said, that's what it looks like. I got my copy right here. It's like I said, it's a thick, professionally printed book. If this isn't, I mean, Steve and I are big fans, but we didn't skimp on the printing. This is a quality book. You guys can attest because you have it in your hands too. So we just want to kind of throw that out. But picturesalive.net's where you can get it. Only $6 for shipping in the U.S. Other places, the website will tell you how much it costs. But, you know, we're shipping anywhere. Who wants it?
Well, I tell you, I'm a big fan of this book. It showed up in the mail here a couple weeks ago, and I haven't put it down. Some absolutely iconic shots. And I guess we should start maybe with Steve, because you're really kind of the linchpin behind this whole thing, in that you really wanted to get into some. First of all, you're a little bit older.
I'm a little bit older.
You're a lot older than Mark, but you're just a little bit older than me. But you got to see some iconic shows from the Bay Area. Like I'm from buttfuck nowhere, Saskatchewan. Nobody tours here. Okay. We're the rest day, right? When they're getting from Winnipeg, Manitoba to Calgary, Alberta, they're driving through Saskatchewan. They never stop here. So I haven't got to see fucking anybody. But you, my friend, you've seen everybody. But what was it about these shows that made you want to sneak in a camera? We're not talking a little digital camera either. We're talking like a real 35 millimeter film camera. Why would you want to sneak that in and start taking pictures?
Well, around my freshman year in high school, I was starting to get into photography. And you know, in the book, I mentioned how those rock magazines like Circus and Hit Parader and Cream just had these great, great, you know, concert photos of these guys from professional photographers. I always envied that. I thought it was so cool. And then honestly, just one time, the first time I took pictures at a show was 1980, was Michael Schenker, who I'm a big fan of, was opening for Cheap Trick. And I brought one roll of film. I had my dad got me this camera because he knows I was taking an interest in photography. And I don't know how I came up with it, but I used to have a black members only jacket back then. And what I did, I just took the lens off the body of the camera. And what I did was I would stick like the lens underneath in the sleeve jacket, and then I put the camera on the other one inside the jacket sleeve, and then I push up my sleeves and make me look kind of bulky. And because we always got padded down going into a concert, so when it came time for me to get padded down, I would open my arms like open my jacket so you can say I wasn't hiding anything, and they generally would just frisk me up to my armpits, not knowing a camera's just a couple inches away. And once I got past that, I was home free. Because most of these concerts are general admission. So that means once you got in, you're on the floor, crammed in with a bunch of other people. And they can't get to me once I'm on the floor. You know, even if they saw, if a security guard, they can't get to me, you know. And I never used a flash because that would draw attention too. And so I had to rely on, you know, the lights of the stage, you know, from the stage. And my first few were definitely learning experiences and trial of error, of doing this. And for most of these concerts, I was with my good friend Dale. And fortunately, I've always been kind of a light guy. And he would hoist me up on his shoulders. And for a couple of minutes, I'd get on his shoulders above the crowd and take, you know, as many pictures as I can. Then I'd tap him on the head like, okay, put me down. And we did that a few times every concert. And I made a point of not taking pictures the whole concert because I wanted to enjoy the show. Okay. So like I said, most of the time I bring one roll of film, and throughout the show, I would, you know, get up there and take a few pictures. And it was funny because I look around and it's like, I'd be like the only one there with a camera. You know what I mean? And when people saw me, they give me like a thumbs up, like, right on, man, you know, you got a camera in. And that's all I did. I just did that several times. And then 40 years later, we decided to put a book out.
you kind of answered what my first question was going to be to you, which was essentially security back then is probably nowhere near what it is today in terms of people, what they can bring in, what they can't bring into concerts. So they were, I don't want to say they were more relaxed back then, but maybe only slightly. So I was just curious, and you answered it, like, how did you manage to get all the equipment in there? And that's pretty clever and hilarious, and I can't believe they didn't check your arms. That seems like not a good try to get your qualifications better when you're hiring security guards. But my question was just going to be, was there ever a time where the security like caught you and tried to like do away with your equipment?
Yeah, so you'll enjoy this one. It was a Van Halen concert, and this was 1982. Diver Down Tour. They're playing like two or three nights at the Cow Palace. And for this particular show, I decided I'm gonna bring two rolls of film for this. Just I'm gonna splurge. But what I did was I always had the film in the camera, even when I was sneaking it in. I always had the film in the camera. And I was with a couple other buddies, and I gave the extra roll to my buddy Al, and he put it in his shoe for when we went through the, you know, the pat down, right? And you know, there's thousands of people trying to get in, so they're patting you down, and the security guard, he felt the camera, and he goes, "What is that?" And I go, "Oh no, I'm busted." And now everyone in line behind me wants to see what I'm trying to sneak into the concert, right? And I pull it out, and he sees it's a camera, and he goes, "Hey man, you got to bring that back to your car. There's no cameras allowed." And I don't know how I thought of this, and it just came to me. I just said, "I don't have a car. I got dropped off. Why don't you just take my film?" And he says, "You only have one roll of film." I said, "Yeah, I just brought one roll of film." So he took my brand new roll of film, let me bring the camera in, thinking I didn't have any more film. And once we got in, my buddy Al, you know, gave me the extra roll, and I got maybe some of the best pictures I ever got from that 1982 concert where Eddie's doing those scissor kicks, and I think you guys have seen some of those pictures in the book. So that was probably the first time I got caught doing it. Yeah.
And yet you got caught and still were able to meet your goal. That's amazing. And that's well crafted planning ahead. So good on you, sir.
And again, normally I only brought one roll of film. So had I done that again, I would have got nothing. And I said,
the face decided you needed to bring an extra. This time you need to bring an extra.
Because that was, you know, again, probably some of the best ones. People comment on some of those photos the most, I think, from that Diver Down tour, you know. So I got lucky.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you if you sell prints, because that iconic Eddie scissor kick picture you got is so phenomenal. Like, I got to hang that on my wall.
Well, I have it on my wall over here, but no, I never sold any prints really. This, again, it was just a hobby, and I've given some out to friends and stuff over the years, but I never had a desire to sell any. And even with this book, guys, I mean, Scott and I've said this quite a few times, you know, this was a labor of love, and we're not making money off this thing. We'll be lucky to get our money back that we put in this thing, you know, but it's been a lot of fun. But no, it's not a money grabber by any means. And that's okay. We're okay with that. You know, I think the people that get this book, the reviews are what really is the pay for it. It's, like you guys said, it's kind of one of a kind. But I don't think there's many books like this where never seen before photos. And I'm not a photographer down on the leaning on the stage like the professional vlogger. I'm in the crowd dealing with the crowd. And so I just wanted to share them. I just want to share them with everyone, and that's where we're at. That's what we've been doing.
All right,
they really
Scott,
are
how did
amazingly
you get,
quality.
They really are, yeah, fantastic stuff. Scott, how did you get involved with this project? Did you know Steve beforehand? Are you a big concert guy too?
Oh yeah, Steve and I have been friends since about high school. Steve's, like I said, a few years older than me, but we had a mutual friend who played guitar. Steve was in was in a couple of bands. And so my buddy Ernie said, "I'm going down to visit my friend Steve." I think they were talking about selling an amp or something like that. And he says he's got all these Kiss photos on his walls, and you know, Van Halen, Motley Crue. You know, you should check it out. And I said, "All right." So I don't know. Like, I think Steve says that my mom, I don't remember this, but like my mom probably drove us down. Steve lived in the next kind of town. I lived in South San Francisco at the time. He lived in Millbrae. And dropped us off, and Steve and I just kind of hit it off. We were just kind of artsy, you know, types, and loved Kiss, loved all these bands. You know, Steve's walls literally were covered with 8x10 of all these photos, many of the ones that are in the book. And I mean, I'd never seen that many photos in my life, let alone, you know, framed so well and perfectly aligned on his walls. And we just kind of hit it off, and then we kept in touch, and you know, we've been kind of friends ever since. And then what happened is I was working on another book project that kind of went kind of sour. And Steve was kind of always calling me, seeing the progress of this project and so forth. And long story short, when I finally decided just to leave this project because it wasn't going anywhere, Steve said, "Hey, man, I've always wanted to do a book of my photos. And, you know, I'd love it if you would, you know, help me out." And like, we literally took off the next day, and that's basically how the book came to be.
Fantastic. And I want to go back to Steve, because I'm a videographer by trade. So I work with cameras, video cameras, however, for the most part. But I just can't imagine how difficult it would be shooting in the early 80s with a 35 millimeter camera with no flash, no autofocus, your general admission on the floor, standing on some dude's shoulders, like sitting on some dude's shoulders and grabbing these shots. How difficult was that? And especially with the focus, like you got guys like Angus Young jumping around the stage. Eddie Van Halen doesn't just stand there and plunk away, right? He's moving all over the damn place. It must have been impossible to get some of these bands.
Well, it was, I think the word is more challenging, to tell you the truth, you know. And after I had done this a few times, now I knew what to expect. And it's general admission. You're on the floor packed in like you're in a sardine can, and it's constantly moving like this, you know. And I have lots of photos that are out of focus or too dark, you know. So I was always very happy if I just got a few good shots out of each concert, you know. But generally what I would do is my buddy Dale would hoist me on his shoulders, and for maybe 2 or 3 minutes I would just kind of hold my breath, try to focus, you know, the camera, follow whoever I want to take a picture of, and then I'd just kind of wait until there was enough bright light on that subject or whoever I was taking a picture of, and just snap a picture and boom. And again, everything was manual focus and no flash, and I just kind of hope for the best. And there's a lot of photos. I was so close. They're just a little out of focus. That man, if that was, you know, if that was perfect focus, like the picture behind me of Kiss, to me, that's a perfect photo as far as lighting, focus and everything. But those were kind of few and far between, you know what I mean? Especially back then, the early 80s, lighting was not the same as it was in say 2000 when Kiss came out and did their farewell tour. Big difference. So yeah, a little more challenging, but it was okay. I mean, I had fun doing it. I really did. It was a lot of fun.
A lot of these rock shows tend to bring out a certain type of fan base, and that fan base is very passionate, so passionate that at times they feel the need to do this little thing called stage diving. And when they stage dive, that means they're crowd surfing to get to the stage, and then they're going to dive and do it all over again. My question to you is, whilst you were on your buddy's shoulders taking these pictures, how many times did you have to dodge the crowd surfers or stage divers?
Okay, I'm really dating myself here, guys. That didn't exist then.
Wow.
In the 80s, there was no stage diving or surfing. Nah, come on, man. This is prehistoric, man. I think the worst thing that would happen to me when I was on Dale's shoulders is people behind me getting pissed off and they would throw quarters at me. Like, get the fuck down. You know, that's probably the worst that happened to me, you know? And then the camera, like what I was doing, like, oh man, I'm sorry, cool, you know, keep going. So that was, no, there wasn't stage diving back then.
Oh man, well that's good, you know, because I'm looking at it from the perspective of myself and my years going to live shows where that always happens, and that has always happened as far as I was concerned. So that's cool then. It was almost, I'm not going to say easier for you, because obviously not given the circumstances, but can you imagine if you were trying to do all that while the stage diving and crowd surfing was?
Well, it'd be I'd probably want to take pictures of that instead. Flying off the stage or diving, I'd probably like enjoy, you know, trying to get pictures of that. But that never,
that's amazing.
The most that ever happened was the people that were right in front. That's the other thing. We never got to the very front because the security is right there. We were always about maybe 10, 15 feet back, so they couldn't get to me if they saw me. But people that right in front against the barricade, they were getting suffocated. So the security would pull them over and get them out of there. You know, that's most of all anything you're talking about.
I was going to say, I remember Van Halen 84 at the Cow Palace, and it was the first time I was going to see them. And, you know, like Steve mentioned the other day, you know, most of these shows at the time were all general admission. There really was no seats and stuff. So you just first come, first serve, man. You know, you had to wait in line for sometimes like 8-10 hours, you know, outside in the parking lot. You finally get in and run up to the front. And I remember I was kind of about midway in this, you know, I can't remember who opened the band, who opened the show, Fools or something like that. But I made a push for the front, and I was like, I'm fucking going to see Diamond Dave Lee Roth, because he was my idol at the time. And I get up probably about 10 people from the stage. And man, I was like sideways, just like Steve said, more squished than I've ever been maybe in my life. And I was just trying to breathe and, you know, sweaty bodies on you. I mean, you know, if you've ever been up front, you know how it is. But I remember I actually could lift my feet off the ground because I was so tight in there. And, you know, Dave came out being like, you know, on stage, and he had that full length sequin kind of jacket, and he literally was Diamond Dave right there, and he was sparkling even before the lights were on. And I just remember looking up at him and thinking, like, holy shit, there he is. Like, that's the man for me personally. And I probably lasted through Unchained and maybe a couple other songs, and was like, I can't take it, man. I watched the rest of the show kind of from the back a little bit, but
right.
You know, I did my best. Let's just say that. I mean, I paid my dues for a little bit. So.
All right. Well, we lost Scott for the time being. We're having some technical difficulties on his end, but we still got Steve here. So we're going to chat with him a little bit. And Steve, I was just kind of wondering, when you go to these shows, you're talking general admission on the floor. Where was kind of the sweet spot? You obviously didn't want to get too close to the front because then security's going to spot you. Were you dead center stage? Were you off to the left, off to the right? Did it matter who was maybe playing on that side of the stage?
Yeah, exactly. Who depends who's playing. Okay, if we're going to see Van Halen, well, guess what? We're going to be on Eddie's side, no doubt about it. Right.
Yeah.
And again, we're generally, like you said, we're not to the very front because, you know, the security is all lined up there in front of the stage. So we were a good 10, 15 feet from the stage, you know, where they couldn't get to me if they saw me. And that was generally where we'd be, you know, sometimes in the center, but sometimes the center was also the rowdiest spot. Okay. I mean, a lot of movement, a lot of pushing and shoving. So we try to, you know, like I said, usually more to the right because, whatever guitar player we were seeing was on that side of the stage, you know? So that's generally where we were on that side. And trying not to, you know, again, I remember Black Sabbath, 1982, when Ronnie James Dio was in the band, and I was really excited to see them because it was the first time I was seeing Dio. And that crowd was just off fucking hook. I mean, it was the one time we thought we might have got hurt. It was just really rowdy. You know? We pulled back a little bit and you know, said, hey, okay, we're okay here. But yeah, you gotta, you know, sometimes, you know, not be too careless, you know, and be careful because, yeah, you get hurt, man. And I'm kind of a light guy, so we can get hurt. So, but yeah, I didn't want to go right to the front, you know, because you can get hurt. And it would be even tougher to get photos because, again, a lot of movement, a lot of pushing, shoving up there. So, that's generally
no crowd surfing, but moshing for sure.
no moshing. This is all. I mean, I hate to keep dating.
That's partially a joke because I know like moshing was sort way close. Later. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty darn close, right? You know, mm-hmm. And you think about this floor of the arena, just full of people, really packed in there, mm-hmm. And you know, hands in the air, and just, you know, it's crazy. It really was. I'm surprised more people didn't get hurt, but we just try to stay away a little bit and try to get photos the best I could. So that's what we did, you know.
We do have a question from one of our patrons, Mr. Kevin Brown. He says, did you have any trouble with clearance for the photos when they were publishing the book, or how did that work? Because with cameras being prohibited and all, did you have any rights issues publishing the book?
You know, it's funny because this is a perfect question for Scott, you know, because he did all this, right? There he is.
Well, Scott maybe is here. Let's give it a try. Hey, Scott.
Hey, yo.
Oh, that's
hey. Yeah, perfect. Nice. Yes.
We got you now.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to bring the question.
Okay, good.
So, like, the deal with the photos, you know, Steve took these himself. He is the owner of these photos. He can do what he pleases with them. Usually, if you were going to do a book that's all about a specific band, you might reach out to them for like a usage fee or, you know, just as it's almost like a respect thing. We just decided we were going to do this. And, you know, like Steve said, we didn't think it was out of our right to do so. You know, we only printed 1,000 books. Like I said, if they want to kind of sue us or bring charges on. I guess that they have the right to do so, but they certainly couldn't get much from us. And so I don't know. I just think it's just a kind of a small point. You know, it's funny. I see things on eBay of, Kiss photos that guys are selling that are not their own photos, or they're making custom posters and selling them that with the Kiss logo and all this stuff. And it's kind of baffles me. I mean, it seems like, you know, those guys aren't doing something, you know, completely legal. But, you know, I just saw a thing the other day, listening on the radio, and they talked about, you know, the rights of the photographer. You know, a lot of bands will say, hey, well, that's my image you're using there. Well, no, it's still the photographer owns that picture, whether it's got a Kiss logo in the picture or if it's got a Van Halen logo in the picture. Steve is still the rightful owner of that. Now, if some guy took a picture from our book and tried to sell it, you know, Steve is the owner of that. So we could probably take, you know, notice of that and go after this guy. But, you know, it is what it is. It is complicated. I will say that. We have so many bands in here. It's kind of like, it's hard to define, you know, how much we owe somebody for, you know, three pages of photos in this book versus the next band, whether it might be, you know, one page of photos. So it's kind of a funny thing, but, you know, bottom line was Steve was the owner of the photos and we did what we did. So
I think there's like a big distance, a big gap or a huge difference in determining you're not doing. You can tell that this project is a labor of love. And it's like, as you said, Steve, it was this hobby. And you just thought, it's like, well, I'm going to go to these shows, you know, take these pictures just to, you know, see if you can, basically.
Right.
Because, like, at the time, you know, we don't have magical little, like, devices called phones that take pictures, you know, at convenient times we want. You know, yeah. You had a whole production that you had to smuggle, for lack of a better word, into these shows because you just genuinely wanted to capture the moment. In hindsight, of course, these are genuine moments in history. As a music fan, as a rock fan, these are very cool moments to be able to capture. So, and you're not doing it with the moniker of "I am the photographer, the be all say all in rock and roll photography during this period of time." Like, no, you're not doing that. That's not what you. So, if you were doing that, then yeah, I could see where the morally gray area kind of shifts there in terms of like the rights issue. You know what I'm saying?
Instead,
and I think anyone would agree, opening up, including the people that are the subjects in these pictures, they just like, no, like, well, what do I care? It's like, they're not trashing my image here. It's like, no, these are just a photographer took some pictures of us. So like, oh, I remember that tour. Cool.
If anything, it's helping these bands continue on with fans. It really is. You know, it's not costing them anything. And all these pictures were taken when they were in their prime. They were young, right? Mm-hmm. And even back then, I never sold any of these photos. I would give some to friends who maybe went to the concert with me, but I never, ever really had any thought of making money off these. And people just tell me all the time, oh, you ought to sell them. I'm like, nah, I don't want to do that. I'm not interested in selling them, you know? And then 40 years later, we decided to put a book together. You know, that's, you know, because it just was something to do. And on project with Scott and I. And again, we're not making money off this thing. I mean, it's still cost us quite a bit. So if we break even, we'll be happy. But again, we didn't do it to make money. We did it because we would enjoy what we're doing. And we thought people would really dig it. And so far, people have really enjoyed it. And that's kind of our pay. It really is. You know, that's our reward. And just like you guys, you saw it for, you're like, wow, this, and that's, we get a lot of that. And it's really nice. It's fun. I'm sharing the photos is really what it is. I'm sharing the photos, you know, that has years on my walls and I never got tired of them. I don't get tired of them now. And, you know, and I was on the fence, like, you know, is anyone gonna give a shit about these old photos? I would say, yeah, man, there's something here. I go, really? Because yeah,
if they're good enough, which you know, I can confirm they are. They're pretty spectacular. I tell you, one of the first pictures that I just kind of opened up to, because I just wanted to just open it, you know, and see where I landed, was this mate. We talked about this off the air. This beautiful image of Randy Rhoads when he was still around. And first of all, my heart kind of like leaped because, you know, big influence when I got serious about my musicianship, listening to a lot of old school Aussie, you know, post Black Sabbath, of course. And Randy Rhoads, who gone from us way too soon. And just that the image that you have of him in the orange lighting, it was just like, wow, look at Randy. That's all I said. I was like, look at Randy, man. It was such a great picture. And like, that does not exist anywhere else. Like, that's your photo. Like, that's a moment you captured, and it's grand. And I can't see why anybody would be against that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that you're talking about that, because, unique individual, and obviously it was taken too soon. And Steve was fortunate enough to see him twice, you know, before he passed. And, you know, I was just telling someone this the other day, you know, there's two pictures. There's that picture you mentioned, then there's two, and they're a little off focus, a tad. And, you know, someone might say, oh, man, you know, it should have been better, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you kind of like get the picture of how Steve had to take these things and low lighting and getting bumped around. And sometimes you just get a picture that's just really good. It was all, you know, maybe not 100% in focus, but with somebody like Randy Rhoads, we decided we will put these pictures out there. We're not trying to say it was the greatest photo ever taken of him. There's a couple that are a little blurry, but for someone like Randy, and I said this the other day, is I thought about Zach Wilde, who's a huge Randy Rhoads fan. And I thought Zach would want to see that photo. A Randy Rhoads fan, much like you're saying, would want to see that photo, even if it's a little gritty or a little blurry or whatever. So we included it. And like I said, in the beginning of the book, Steve talks about how he would go through this process. And, you know, the pictures get better as it goes along because lighting got better and stuff like that. And Steve was honing his craft. But, you know, we don't make any excuses for the pictures in there. They are what they are. But we would rather include something that's rare, like something of Randy, than to just say, oh, what the hell? You know, like, we only made one book. We only had one shot at this. We're not doing it a second time. So, you know, get these pictures, like you said, are pretty cool to see this man who, you know, there's not as many Randy Rhoads photos as there are Eddie Van Halen photos. That's for sure. You know?
Well, yeah, just the time was short with Randy. And, you talk about, Zach Wilde. Yeah. Zach still talks about Randy and how, you know, he loved what he did and big fans. So, yeah. But also, anytime you hear or see, Ozzy talking about, his time with Randy, like, he still to this day regards Randy very, very fondly. So I think even Ozzy, if like seeing those, I think he would also want to see those pictures and be like, oh my God, like, look at, there's my friend that I haven't, you know, I miss. Yeah. So yeah. And you just, it just really, you're not, we're not blowing smoke up your ass here, Steve. It's just like, these are like really good photos. And I like the fact that not all of them are precise and perfect. They are like, it gives it more of a raw, authentic feel. Like, I believe you were down, you know, in the pit, like in amongst the crowd, like trying your best to just kind of stay above water, as it were, you know, to get these pictures, because, you know, no one was going to move out of your way. You couldn't do it very sneakily with a phone, as you say, because back then didn't happen. But showing like the slight in focus, it tells me that the photographer tried their damnedest to get this thing as perfect as possible, but situations occurred, and it's like, but it's still good enough. It's still good enough. And it shows us like, okay, well, this is what it is. I'm here. I'm in it. I'm surrounded by the people. I'm getting kind of bumped around, whatever. And yet I'm still manually focusing. I'm still, you know, coming across, trying to get the best photo as possible. And he still did it. So, you know, it's just, like I said, this feels like a labor of love. It's not like some cash grab or some shit like that, you know?
One thing we should point out to the viewers is we're talking about some of these photos that are slightly out of focus or grainy. It's a very small percentage of all the photos.
Yes, yes, true.
Maybe 5%, you know, because you can see the ones behind me or that are in the book. And, you know, we made sure we put the absolute best in there. But some of the early photos, like Randy, which was one of the first, I think maybe the second or third show I took, just had bad lighting. And I did the best I could. And they're definitely, you know, they're definitely worth looking at. And then 5-6 months later, when he came back, Ozzy came back, now playing the Cow Palace, bigger show, bigger production, better lighting, got some better shots, you know. And then each show after that was just getting better and better. So, but yeah, we just figured those Randy Rhoads fans would like to see those photos, and that's why we put them in there, you know.
Well, it's a testament to your ability to take the photos, because even those early ones, you still managed to get great shots, and they still came out spectacular, considering bad lighting or like movement, whatever. So like it's a testament to your patience, I would say, and you know, that's just actually your good eye. Yeah,
well, you gotta think about this, guys. You know, anyone in my position, we're fans of these bands, so we know a lot about them. We know what's kind of happening with them. It's not like I'm shooting a band for the first time I don't know anything about, right? You know, with Gene, I know when the fire's coming, so I get ready to take that, or the blood, or so a lot of these things you kind of, like my wife said a lot of times, man, you just kind of know when something's going to happen.
Well, you feel it.
You know, you feel it, and you know, maybe from seeing them more than once, you just kind of know a little bit what's coming, not all the time. You know, Dave's getting ready to jump off, you know, and do the, you know, off the drum riser, right? You know, that's going to be the first thing of the show. First song, he's going to do the split, you know, the jump. And the one with Eddie, I didn't see that coming. That was just a pure luck catching him doing the scissor kick. You know, that was just lucky. But you know, certain things you know were coming, and I would try to catch those when I knew they were coming.
Oh yeah.
All right, we got a couple of patron questions for you here, Steve. Yeah. First comes from Tom. He says, "What is your favorite band to shoot?" And I'm assuming the band on the wall right behind you is probably in the running.
Yeah. Yes. Actually, it is. Just because, think about Kiss. There's, you know, They're so photogenic, between the makeup, the costumes, everything. I mean,
theatrical.
You know, how can you not like taking pictures of Kiss, especially the original members, which I was fortunate to get, you know, both in 96 and 2000. And, you know, a lot of animation there. That was fun. So it'd be Kiss. And then second would be Van Halen for sure. Van Halen, flashy clothes, got Dave up there, Eddie, you know. Something to look at, something that would look cool in a picture. And those guys did it. You know, a lot of these bands we like, guys, they offered something when they'd play in concert, whether it was stage production, their, you know, flashy clothes they're wearing, whatever. There was something there. It was never boring. I will say that I don't think there's one boring shot in our book. I like to.
No, they're not boring. Yeah.
That, you know, so that, but to answer his question, it would be Kiss and then followed by Van Halen for sure.
Perfect. Well, speaking of Kiss, I wanted to throw it to Steve real quick and just talk about throw it to Scott real quick and just talk about the design of the book here, because it's really a gorgeous book. Here's a sample page. It's actually from a Kiss show in 1983, Creatures of the Night Tour, with Motley Crue opening for him. But this is what people kind of expect when they open up the book, and it's absolutely gorgeous. I love how you make the band logo kind of the star of the information page there. And then we always get the ticket stub. And then off to the left, you also included the set list. Maybe just talk about your inspirations for the design of the book.
Yeah. You know, Steve and I were, you know, we'd look at his photos and I'd have kind of a vision in my head of how I liked it. And I think the black was always, you know, a really rich color to kind of make the photos pop from. The amplifiers behind the, you know, the back, which was like the background wallpaper, you know, I know they're the Kiss Love Gun stage when they had the aluminum cabinets, and we kind of distressed them a little bit just to add a little texture. But, you know, it's a tip of the hat to Steve, because he had the ticket stubs. He had all those ads you see on the right are from the opening spreads of the book. He had like every ad from every ticket, from every show he went to. And then there was a couple of shows that we added, like the Cheap Trick in the lower right corner. You know, Steve went to that show, but he didn't get the pictures. And then there was a little homage to Kiss in the back of the book where it had the Dynasty show ad, because that's where Steve took his first pictures unsuccessfully. You know, we just like that we could give someone almost like a, we always joke it's like the book is a little bit of a time machine. The feel of the book and the set list and the ticket stub, and to see the ads and then to see these photos that of a show you may have been at, just kind of is a combination of things that just kind of looks nice. And, you know, I think people get a kick out of the set list. I think people get a kick out of the seeing a ticket stub with the prices back then were, you know, phenomenally affordable at the time. And then to see these ads that most people had in the newspaper and kind of chucked them, you know, or recycled it or whatever. And so you get like a nice little dose of memory lane. And I think that's one of the most appealing aspects of this book. And so, you know, I've been doing design my whole life. That's kind of my thing. I'm not a musician kind of type like Steve. I've been doing it for a while, and I like to believe I'm a fan first. So I think I give the fans what they're looking for. And you want something that's rock and roll, but it has some style to it. You don't want to just slap a bunch of shit on a page and, you know, kind of call it good night. So, you know, we kind of kept it kind of clean, but, you know, structured.
I want to just add something to that. When Scott and I were doing this, he's in Massachusetts, I'm in California. So we were on the phone, you know, 3-4 times a week talking about this. And he would, you know, he would give me an idea or something, and then he would send it to me, and I go, wow, that's great. You know, I mean, so he just had the eye for it. And that's one of the reasons why I asked him to do this, you know, be part of this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I knew his ideas were going to be cool, and they were. And one thing I would like to point out on the front of the book, I don't know if you guys can hold up the front of the book, the cover, the front cover. When we talked about, you know, the actual, what do we want to do for the cover of the book? I told Scott, I said, I just envision like a picture of a crowd. Like if someone's standing on a stage, takes a picture of a crowd, you see all these people, you know, raising their hands. And then I told him like a bunch of my photos, just kind of like a collage on the front. Well, he came up with the actual film with the pictures in them. I thought that was brilliant. You know, again, we're going back, you know, early '80s when film was around, and you know, they're not the actual film, you know, pictures and film strips of the time, but he just put those in there. But it made it look like the film. I thought that's one of my favorite things at the front of the book, is seeing actual film strip with different contour photos. You know, this, so you can see what this thing's going to look like. I thought that was brilliant. I loved it. That was his idea. 100%.
And I love this cover because, yes, yeah, an assortment of different musicians kind of in the film, as you say. And when I first received that, I looked at the cover and I went, hey, these are pretty cool photos just on the cover. I wonder if I'm probably not going to see this in the book. This is just for the cover purposes, but I'm getting an idea of what I'm about to look at. And lo and behold, I'm like, oh, no. Here they are. Yeah. Like, this is good. This is awesome. This is like just some of those just absolutely mesmerizing just because you just were able to capture just the right particular moments. And as you've mentioned before, these were bands that were like young and in their prime. So like, this is a moment in history that is just, you can't duplicate. You can find other pictures from that time frame, maybe even some footage, but like, again, yours very unique. Yours are like, they're yours, and they've never been seen before. So it was just, it really is cool flipping through this book and going back in time and seeing it from a different perspective, and just kind of it's almost like you're back there, you know.
And all the pictures are from that general time frame of 81 to 87. And, you know, like, if you're a fan of Van Halen, you're probably a fan of AC/DC to some degree. You know, it may not be your favorite band, or, you know, you probably like Motley Crue. You probably like Scorpions, you know. And so it's not just, you know, a Van Halen book, you know, like, it's, you know, if you're just a fan of rock, 80s rock, I said the big arena, big hair arena days, you know, it's just a cool kind of book to kind of just have on your desk that people kind of flip through and find their favorites and stuff like that. And I think that's what's really cool, you know. And I was saying the other day, you know, like I said, respectfully to Eddie, Randy, Eric Carr, you know, all passed away. Ronnie James Dio was one of Steve's favorites. You know, a lot of these guys, you know, and Eddie passed away during the production of this book, which kind of turned us upside down. Like, wow, man. Like, I mean, that was heavy. I mean, that was a major loss. And it hit us a lot, thinking, wow, this book now has become like a little homage to Edward. And, you know, I mean, it kind of adds another little factor. In fact, we sent Wolfgang a book just to say, hey, man, we loved your dad. I mean, he's probably seen a million pictures of his father over the years, but we just wanted him to have a copy of this book because we felt it was a cool thing to do. I mean, I know he received it, and we never heard from the guy, respectfully, but he's a busy guy. We're not bitching about that. It just was kind of one of those things that just seemed like one of those cool things to do. And I hope he has it, and I hope he enjoys it. And I just felt like it was, you know, something we could do for him to say thanks for everything, sure. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, we have another patron question here. This one comes from Ryan Powell, and he says, with all the concerts you've attended, have you ever encountered a concert photo that you could be seen in the crowd? And there's actually a great story in the book from the Cow Palace. Maybe, Steve, do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah. So that's a pretty cool question. So, if you ever been to the Cow Palace, if you walk around the perimeter of the inside the Cow Palace, the lobby area, they have their own photos of over the years. They have Elvis on them. They're big, like 2x3 photos frame, and they're all on the walls. Not everyone's played, but I mean, we're going back to probably in the 60s, you know, even like Evel Knievel was there in the early 70s, but Elvis. So they have a lot of cool photos that maybe they have a photographer that would take these photos. There's a photo of the Scorpions from 1984, and my buddy Dale and I were at that Scorpion show. And I have a photo that I took that's almost identical to the one that is displayed in the Cow Palace. And if you look closely, you can see someone is on the shoulders of someone else doing this. And my buddy Dale actually saw that a few years ago. He goes, Steve, you're not going to believe this, man. But there's a photo of the Scorpions from the show we went to in 84. You have the exact same pose that the band, the Scorpions, doing. And if you look, you can see, because the picture is from the back, like from the soundboard. So you can see the crowd. You see the, you know, because most of their photos, they weren't up close. They're from like the back of the arena or the soundboard. And sure enough, man, I mean, my print and their print's almost exact, and then you kind of, it looks like there's someone up on someone's shoulders taking pictures. So and we were on that side of the stage when, you know, on the floor when that happened. So that's a pretty cool question, by the way, so thanks for asking. That's in the book. I tell that story in the book for the Scorpions. So yeah,
not only pictures, you guys, you get stories as well. So that's, you know, just to pique your interest even more.
Yeah
a little character show, just a little paragraph for each show. I had some pretty fun, cool run-ins, you know, either before the concert, after the concert, during the concert.
The stories, you know, Steve would say to me, at this Motley Crue show, we went with some friends from school, and this girl tagged along, and next thing you know, Nikki Sixx is signing her tits outside the tour bus. And he's telling me the story, and I'm like, dude, you have to include that story because it's so good. And then the next plate, the next show had a equally as good story. And so, I mean, I know this is a photo heavy book, but I guarantee that you will be entertained by the stories alone are worth, I think, just reading some of those. They provide just enough reading to not bore you and to have a pretty funny little quip about what Steve went through, whether it was hiding the camera, getting it in, some kind of the hijinks. I mean, you know, being chasing Judas Priest in their limousine across San Francisco and all this craziness, and, you know, meeting Van Halen at their hotels and all this wacky stuff. I mean, we wrote this based on just Steve interpreting or downloading me on the story. And then I would, you know, rewrite them and make them sound a little bit more appealing. But it's a great little extra bonus that kind of paints a picture of the show to some degree too. So that's why we think it's a cool little, it's just enough reading to kind of whet your appetite as you peruse the photos.
I tell you what would have been cooler than a story about Nikki Sixx signing somebody's tits as a picture of it. Why couldn't you get that picture?
Yes. Camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned those stories, man. You mentioned one where you saw Eddie Van Halen, I think, coming into a hotel, and he was getting into an elevator with Neil Sean and Mike Reno from Loverboy. I'm like, fuck, there's a group I want to go drinking with. Like, so, how cool would that have been?
Yeah. So this was 1984. And we found out which hotel they were staying at. And again, they played, I think, two nights. Now, in 1982, I'm going to go back and forth a little bit. I am by no means any kind of artist. Scott is the artist here. He's a phenomenal artist. But in high school, I did take some art class. And it was cool because they let us paint anything we wanted to. So I did this, you know, pretty cheesy oil painting of Eddie. And it's one of the pictures on the back of Van Halen 2 where he's leaning back with the guitar. Well, I was fortunate enough to get it signed by him in after the concert in 1982. I had it in my car after the show. I went to my car and I grabbed the painting because we knew where the limousines would leave. And there's a picture of him signing it where he's with Valerie in the limousine. And you kind of can see him. He signed it for me. Well, 2 years later, they come back, 84. I don't know what I was thinking. I bring this painting back. It's a camera painting. And I don't know what I was thinking. I already got it signed. What's he going to do? So we're in the lobby of the hotel. It's after the 84 concert. And then there was maybe 10 or 20 other people kind of waiting around for these guys. And they're kind of coming in one by one. And when Eddie came in, Mike Reno from Loverboy was there and Neil Sean was there kind of waiting for him. And Eddie, I remember he walked in and he just had this, you know, gallon-sized thing of vodka or gin, you know, half empty. And he looked at me and goes, I'll be right back. Well, he never came back, of course. He went up the elevator with Neil Sean, I think Mike Reno, and of course they never came back. So we're just kind of waiting around, and then Michael was there. Michael was the last to come in. I don't know why I thought of this, but we're standing next to Michael, and there was no one around. I say, man, you want to sign this painting? He goes, yeah, I'll sign it. So I actually got Michael Anthony to sign the same painting that Eddie signed a couple years later, but it's a painting of Eddie. It just shows you how Michael was, you know what I mean? I mean, because I didn't have anything else to do, you know, from the sign. He goes, I'll sign it. And I think there's a picture in the book, Scott. Isn't there a picture in the book
of
both their signatures? So that's what we did, just silly stuff.
And, you know, there's that picture of Steve takes the picture out of his car window as he's chasing David Lee Roth down the highway in his limousine. And I just think, you know, it's just such a, it's not the greatest photo of all time, but how often do you see a rock star in their limousine cruising on the highway and you get a photo of him giving you the quick thumbs up like that? I don't know. To me, that I thought was so rad. You know, Steve said, you know, Dave came out of the hotel, and tell him that little bit about Dave because he gets kind of goofy on you.
So this is 1982, this deal, the Diver Down tour, and me and a couple of my friends found out where they were staying. And again, whenever Van Halen came to town, they always played at least two nights, okay? And I usually go both nights. I take pictures of one night, and the next night I would just kind of kick back and enjoy the show. Well, I was going to take pictures of the show, and we went to the hotel before, you know, sound check. And it was just me and two friends and another friend was there who met him the night before. And we're just kind of waiting in the parking lot next to a limousine. It was like there was a limousine there ready to pick someone up. And sure enough, here comes Dave walking out with two security guards on the other side of him wearing a Chinese kimono, the whole thing. You know, he's got the glasses on. It's total Dave. and he's walking toward us. And I was going to get a picture of him, but his security guard stopped that right away. No photos, you know? And right before he gets in the limousine, we're just standing there, you know, hey, Dave, how you doing? Our one friend, Mike, who was standing, you know, closer to Dave, this is a crazy story, and it's true. I can remember like it was yesterday. Dave goes into playful, but a full-on wrestling move with my buddy, Mike. It was crazy. And it lasted all 5 seconds, and Mike's laughing like he knew what he was doing, but I would have shit my pants. Like, is he trying to beat me? What's he doing? You know? And he wasn't. He was just wrestling and doing all this crazy stuff for like 5 seconds. And I go, what the fuck was that? He gets in the limousine. We get in our car. We're following the limousine because we know they're going to the cow. You know, we know they're going to the show. And it's still daylight. It's only like 5 o'clock. And we're right beside him going on the freeway. And he had the window down, fortunately. He's in the back. And there's, of course, three people with him. And he's got the glasses on. And he had the window down. And we're right beside him. So I was, you know, taking, and he looked over and just kind of gave me a quick thumbs up. Got a picture. It's in the book.
That's cool of him. You know, he was in good spirits that day. He wasn't, you know, Dave, based on the stories we've heard and been told, you know, Dave didn't always have good spirited days. So that's good that you got him on a good one.
It's crazy. It was, you know, and for some reason we left that story out of the book. I think I forgot about it, to tell you the truth. But and then there was another time with Van Halen. I had this custom shirt. Airbrush shirt, and what it is, it's I had another buddy at the time who was a airbrush artist. I gave him the picture of Eddie, who's jumping, you know, doing the splits, that's in the book, and a picture of the amplifiers Eddie had on stage back on. This is during 1982. So he made me this great custom airbrush shirt. It said Eddie Van Halen on top. It had him jumping in the air with the amps behind him. It was really cool, you know, really, really cool.
Ooh, yeah.
And
that's in the book, Steve, too.
It's in the book. It's in the book.
Yeah, in the back, yeah.
And the Van Halen concert in 85, when, or maybe 86, early 86, when Sammy's in the band now. Again, my friends and I found out what hotel they're staying at. I brought the posters. I have a poster size of Eddie doing the splits that's framed. And I brought that with me, and Eddie signed it. Eddie signed my poster at the hotel, and he also signed my shirt. He actually signed my shirt. And it's unfortunate I didn't get that picture in the book, but again, he was really cool, and Valerie was right. You know, no one was paying attention to Valerie. Everyone was paying attention to Eddie, you know. So the times I met him were really quick. Another time I met him, 1987, I used to go down to the NAMM show in Anaheim. That's the big music convention down there every January. Mm-hmm. And my buddy Dominic and I went down there, and really cool. If you ever had a chance to go down to check it out, it's very, very cool. Well, we were actually walking out of the building. We were going to go across the street, get a drink or something. And as we're walking out of one of the doorways, true story, here comes Eddie walking with some girl. It wasn't Valerie. It was some other girl. I think it was just a friend or maybe a relative. Walking in our direction, and we just stopped right by the door. We just walked out. And you have to have a certain pass to get into this thing. Not anyone can just walk in. You have to have a pass. Eddie didn't have a pass. They didn't let him in. They wouldn't let him in. And he had people with him to go in to So we're standing outside with Eddie Van Halen, me and my buddy Dominic. And I said to him, hey, man, you want to borrow my pass? He goes, oh, no, man, they'll take care of it. And I got a quick picture with him. That's also in the book, at the very last page of the book. This is early 1987. His hair is kind of short. He's wearing sunglasses. And this is when he was endorsing Kramer guitars. Once he got in there, and Kramer had the biggest display booth in the whole arena. Once he got in there, I'd never seen anything like it. He got to the booth he was supposed to go to, or the area. I've never seen more people all crowded in to see him at this event. I used to go to this event quite a bit. It was amazing. And we were lucky enough 5 minutes earlier to be standing outside with him because he couldn't get into the building. He couldn't get into the damn show.
Amazing.
Got a quick photo with him again. That's in the book, and just a great guy. I mean, you know, really, you know, and that was it. I mean, it would have never happened otherwise. We just were lucky. We were walking out as he's walking, and he couldn't get in. So,
I love the idea of people working at NAMM, and like, of course they've got protocols and everything, but like, can you imagine if like those dudes were just like Van Halen super fans and they're just sitting there having to be like, we can't let you in, there's no pass, you have no pass, you can't get in, like, well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, fortunately he was with other people that, you know, right away, but he literally stands, we're, let's say we're out there for 2-4 minutes, just hey, you know, hey Dad, oh cool, how you guys doing, you know. And true story too, I had a band I was playing with at the time called Asylum, and we had a demo tape, and I actually gave him to him. You know, he probably tossed it, but I actually was able to give it to him. And he's actually holding it in his hand when the picture was taken of us. And, you know, that would never happen anywhere else. Just, it would never happen.
Right.
And, but man, did he get just bombarded with people. It was crazy. It was crazy.
Oh, I can imagine so.
Yeah.
No kidding. Well, we've been yammering on for a while. We should probably start wrapping this up. I got a couple of more of your questions I wanted to get to real quick here, though. And first of all, we'll throw this to both of you, both being from the Bay Area. There's no Night Ranger shows in the book, but you ever catch a Night Ranger concert?
Yes. Yes. More than a few. Love Night Ranger. I just never got photos of them. Okay. So here's, if you're a Night Ranger fan, you're going to love this. New Year's Eve, I think it was 1985, some friends and I rented a limousine just to cruise San Francisco. Well, Night Ranger was playing at the Cow Palace that night, okay? And I told my buddies, just kind of from experience, seeing, you know, where limousines would come in and out of from the Cow Palace from a show, I said, hey, let's go to the Cow Palace. I bet you we can get in. So think about this. There's a gate on the side of the street, on the side street of the Cow Palace, where limousines would come and go. And so here comes our limousine. They don't know, people at the gate don't know who's in it. They just see, they probably just think it's a limousine to pick up the band because the concert's over. So the gate opens, we drive in, goes to the very back where other limousines are. We get out, no one asks the thing. Concert's over. We see all the guys from Night Ranger hanging out. We got photos with them, we talked to them. It was just too easy. It was like we were part of the entourage, you know what I mean? So, but I've seen them in concert. I never got photos of them, unfortunately, but love Night Ranger, great band. So that's
how about you, Scott?
Night Ranger. Night Ranger in particular, I saw them. There's an amusement park south of San Francisco in a little, in a town called Santa Clara. There was a thing at the time called Marriott's Great America. It's still there. It's not called Marriott's anymore, but they would have summer concerts there, and you could you know, maybe be like maybe 400 or 500 people max. A nice outdoor summer show. And I saw Night Ranger there probably on the, you know, Dawn Patrol first record. And I fucking loved those guys, man. Like, you know, I still listen to Sirius XM. And when I hear their songs, I still, you know, wish I could, you know, I don't know. I'm getting old. I feel like I don't see too many shows anymore, but they're still a great band. I was at Disney World one time out of the blue and they were playing there. And I actually caught half of their set.
Disney World?
At Disney World, believe it or not. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And that was, it was probably about, I don't know, 20 years ago or whatever it was, maybe 15 years ago. Yeah. And I just remember like seeing a little sign say Night Ranger. And I thought, are you kidding me? And like, yeah, I think it's when Joel Huckstra was playing, you know, in lieu of Jeff Watson. But yeah, that was kind of a weird one. But yeah, great band.
Well, I tell you what, someone watching our stream here tonight, Jeff Brewer, also from the Bay Area, he was there in 86.
Oh, sweet.
He remembers that show. He also remembers all those pictures in the lobby in the Cow Palace that you were
talking about.
The Scorps.
Right on, yeah. So
we're going to give the last viewer question to Jeff because he's the man. He asks, have you received any specific positive feedback from any of the musicians directly who really liked the photos that you took?
Yeah, so we got a book to Billy Sheehan. And Billy Sheehan. And he thought it was great. He just thought it was great. And I just messaged him on Facebook. I say, hey, Billy, I got some pretty good photos of you and with you and Steve. And I said, I'd love to send you this book. I said, there's a funny story that I can maybe, you know, tell you quick. Of Steve and I, we had an encounter. At the time, they played in late 86 and a few months later in 87. At the time, you know, I'm like 22 or 23, I think it was. Well, I used to be a valet parking attendant at Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco. And one night I was working, and here comes this car coming out, and lo and behold, it was Steve Vai, his wife, I think her parents or his parents in the back seat. And he says, do I pay you? I go, hey, Steve, I was acting really cool. And we were talking music for like 10, 15 minutes while the car is running. And I said, hey, man, I said, my band's got this demo tape. I would love to give it to you. And I could tell you what, if you take, I'll take care of your parking. But the tape's up in my truck at the other end of the parking lot. He says, okay, hop on. I said, what? He says, hop on the hood. He had me hop on the hood of his car, which was a rental car, by the way. And we drove the length of the parking lot, which is probably 100 yards. I'm holding on to the antenna because he's cruising, right? He's got out the window so he can see where he's going because I'm blocking his view because I'm sitting on the hood. And we get to the end of the parking lot. I give him my tape and we say goodbye. And I told Billy, I go, it's a pretty funny story. You'll get a kick out of it. So he's got a book. He thought it was great.
And don't forget Menichetti.
Dave Menichetti. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Scott. Dave Menichetti of Y&T, who I kind of know, sent him a book, and because they're from the Bay Area. Man, he gave the nicest review. He really did. He said the same thing. He said, I went through this thing from top to bottom. It's just a great piece of work. All these bands, when they were in the pre-season, this thing were at the top of their game. That's what he said. All these bands were at the top of their game. And it was great. And he took a picture of the book. He took a picture of him holding the book that's on our website. And he couldn't have been nicer. Really, really cool. So, yeah, there's two right off the bat.
Yeah. But I know your fans want to see, you know, the VH, the Mighty.
Yes.
So, you know.
There's a lot of that in there. A lot of that in there.
There is. Yeah, I can confirm. My last question to you really is, and I guess to the both of you really, is there a – maybe I'm looking at it. Or maybe you've alluded to it, but is there a very specific photo within this book that you would say, like, that's my favorite one, like the of all the photos? You might love them all equally, but there's probably one that you're maybe most proud of. Does that exist in the book, and why that one?
This is, for me, it's very simple. It's very easy. We've talked about it already several times. It's the picture of Eddie Van Halen, 1982. I caught him jumping in the air doing his splits. Mm. It's perfect focus. It's perfect lighting. I couldn't. It was just a pure luck shot.
Yeah.
And that's the one that people will probably, you know, review as, you know, my one of my better shots for sure. So for me, that's easy. The Van Halen shot.
Yeah. For me, actually, you guys showed it earlier. It's that picture of Gene Simmons, kind of a full body shot from the Creatures tour. I was 11 years old when the Dynasty tour came through San Francisco. My dad didn't let me go. So I was eager to see Kiss on that 83 show. And for some, it sounds a little corny, but Gene had these new boots with all these studs and spikes on the side, not studs, but spikes on the side, which I'd never seen those before. And I thought they were so awesome. And I think Steve just captured this great full body shot of Gene. And that's why we have that as the kind of the money shot for that spread. I just like that a lot, you know. There's many other photos, but that's one of my
favorites.
Just talked about. I got it right here. That's Eddie. That's that one favorite? There by far. Yeah, that is my favorite.
It's that one in the Randy picture, man. Just like
one's beautiful.
That Randy one, just I don't know. Like, I think maybe because that one just happened to be the one I opened up to, like, randomly, yeah. And it was just like, oh my God, and it's Randy Rhoads. You know, we've talked about it, how he was only here for so long, and then you got to see him twice and got some just great shots of him. But that one, and of course, you know, maybe our bias is showing because this is a Van Halen show, but that shot of Eddie is just magnifico.
You can see this.
But I mean, yeah. Look at that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was early
that
on.
That is just such a – God, I want to recreate that image so much, but it just like, it just won't have the same effect. But I was like, this is an homage to our new friends, Steve and Scott, and then also to Randy. But that's so great.
So many great Dio shots, Maiden shots, Judas Priest, AC/DC. I'm a big AC/DC fan. And like, you know, the 81 tour, 82, 83, kind of, you know, flick of the switch. There were some great shots of Angus there. Scorps, he had some great shots. Def Leppard, Pyromania tour. Loved that. I also co-host an Aerosmith podcast. So watching or seeing some of the shots from the 84 Back in the Saddle tour where Steven Tyler was just blitzed out of his fucking mind. And you can tell by the look on his face, he had no idea where the hell he was. And you told a great story that for the encore, he tried to play the drums and Joey Kramer's like, fuck off, Steve.
Hold the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite moments. in a book that has so many. Let's plug it one more time here, folks. It's called Pictures Alive, Rock Shows of the 80s and Beyond. We'll throw it back to Scott because he did so good the first time. Let the folks know exactly where they can find it.
Yeah, it's available on our website, picturesalive.net. $29.95 shipping in the States is only $6. Canada is a little bit more expensive, I think about $20, but picturesalive.net, the website has great photos. You'll really get a good understanding of the book. 3 pounds it weighs, 300 pages, over 400 photos, and it's full color. This isn't a color cover with a bunch of black and white stuff inside. You know, a lot of bands, like I said, there's a whole listing on the website, and we know you will dig it.
And Amazon too, Scott.
Oh yeah, it's on Amazon as well, and even on eBay if you want to search. You can actually search Van Halen book, and you'll get us because we have books, you know, for Van Halen. Not specifically different books, but you know, we geared some for Van Halen fans and some for Kiss fans and stuff like that because. Next to Kiss, Van Halen had the most photos in this band. So I think for your Van Halen fans, they will not be disappointed.
And the last thing is, you know, we only printed 1,000 copies, guys. Only 1,000 copies. And we only have a few hundred left. And after that, they're gone. So they're going. And so we're just trying to let, and I'm glad we're doing your guys' show because you have a lot of Van Halen fans and they would dig this book because there's several pages of Van Halen and you kind of saw a little bit of what's in there. So again, you know, we don't know how long this is going to last, but there's only about 300, maybe 350 left of these books. And then we're done. there's not going to be a second book.
then we're going to jail. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a hot ticket item, you guys, limited edition. Yeah. So be sure. And Corey and I were lucky enough to receive a copy. And I tell you, it really is. And not only do our fans love Van Halen, obviously, but just a plethora of music from this particular day and age. So you guys, this book is right up your alley. I highly encourage all of you guys to get on Amazon or get onto the website directly. Buy this book. It's well worth your time and well worth your collection if you are a rock collector. And I know a lot of you guys out there very much are. So if that's the case, you need this book in your collection. It is truly, truly a really amazing piece of work. And I commend the both of you, really. Thank you guys so much for sending that to us because it was a real delight looking through that. I just I kind of got overwhelmed when I opened it because I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And they got this and they got all these. And then, you know, I remember I kind of flipped when I saw the Black Sabbath section, but I was like, oh shit, it's Heaven and Hell, that's Dio in Black Sabbath, like shit, okay.
Yeah.
It was just such a very cool moment seeing that. So
did we tell you
speak highly enough?
Did we tell you we're gonna need those books back?
Oh, you're gonna need them back. Okay, well, you guys,
I already sold mine on eBay.
There you go.
No,
we really were looking forward to this and we're glad you joined the book. And that's the general, you know.
I was sad that we didn't get to spin the wheel because I don't understand that whole thing, but whatever.
Oh, hey, well, we can bring it back. What we've been doing since the very first show is we put every single Van Halen song on a giant wheel. And every week we spin that wheel and whatever song comes up, that's the song we talk about. Okay. So it's random every single week.
What was the last song?
The last song we did was Light Up the Sky.
Oh.
Yeah, we got 29 songs left on the wheel, I think. So we've only got like 29 shows left. So you want to come back on and spin the wheel and talk about a track? We'd love to have you.
Did you guys already do I'm the One?
Did we? I believe we have. Van Halen 1 is probably our least hit album. Yeah.
Okay.
That's true. Yeah. So that one
after 97, they blend together.
Yeah. Yeah. But we finished Fair Warning. That's the first album we've completed in this cycle. We've talked about it.
Women and Children
First is the next up. We're going to talk about that one. But still 29 songs left. Doesn't seem like a lot, but there's still plenty of time to have you on and have you talk about it.
Oh, that's fun. We enjoy that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Awesome. Perfect. Awesome stuff, you guys. Steve, Scott, you guys, thank you so much for coming on, giving us some of your time, and allowing us to help you plug the book, because we legitimately really, really enjoyed. I enjoy the pictures, the stories that go along with it, are even just more flavor for the meal, as it were. And the design of it's great. I commend you both on the design of it. Scott, if you had if that's your handiwork, cool. But I mean, also they complement the design of how the book is formatted with the pictures, complement each other really well. So for me, who like really enjoys the visual stimulant, thank you for that.
Yeah,
so.
You're welcome. One last thing I want to point out, guys, when we did this project, it took us 2 years to do this thing because we wanted to rush. There was no timeline. We made sure we're not going to rush ourselves. And during that time, I didn't tell anyone we were doing this. My wife knew a little bit, but that was it. And think about that. If you start telling people, oh, we're doing a book on my photos, that's a pretty big statement. And there was no guarantee we were going to finish this thing. And we didn't know what this thing was going to cost. Okay. So we just kind of went. And then, like Scott said, in the 11th hour, it cost a lot, but we did it. And when we got the books, they all went to Scott's place. And I had him send me 25 books. And what I did was I mentioned a lot of my friends in this book that I went to certain concerts with, right? None of them knew a thing. And what I did was I sent them all the book and they didn't know it was coming. I sent them in the back, something in the mail, it's going to come. And so they were blown away. They had no idea, you know, and I names in the book, you know? So that was a lot of fun for me to do, but basically we didn't tell anyone we were doing this. Scott made a couple of people. We just didn't know if we were going to finish it. We never did this before. And it was a lot of fun, big challenge. And it was great. Scott and I get along so well. There was never one argument. There was never one disagreement. And again, we took our time. But it was a two-year fun project. And thankfully, everyone's really digging it. That's great.
Yeah. So. The effort shows, you guys. So, yeah, I mean, and that's, you're doing it the right way, because you don't want to get people's expectations too high or like have them anticipate something. Yeah. And then, you know, 2 years go by and everyone's forget, like, oh, yeah, sure. You're doing a book. Yeah, that's what you said 2 years ago. Like, whatever. Like, no, it's happening, really.
it could have easily just died out.
It could have fallen apart. Yeah.
Yeah. It just could have. We didn't know. We never did anything like this before. And one last thing I'll say is one thing that's so cool that most people comment on is they'll say, oh, I was at that concert in my city. I saw that tour in my city. Yeah. You know, these bands toured so much back in the 80s. And that a lot of people can relate to that. Oh, man, you know, because of course, all mine are from the Bay Area. And some people from, you know, we're at those shows in the Bay Area, but other people's from back east, wherever. Oh, I saw that concert 3 months before when it was in my city and it was great. And maybe there was a different opening band, but it was the same show and same tour, you know? So there they are.
I got to finish off with that shot.
That'd be my third favorite shot, one of the three of them there, I think.
That's fantastic. For the listeners, go to our YouTube. By the time you're listening to this, go to our YouTube and check out this show via our YouTube so that you can actually see the pages. And maybe that'll entice you to go on over to picturesalive.net and order your copies. Picturesalive.net. Show these guys some support and some love, because this is what this book is, a labor of love. And it really does show, and it's perfect for your rock collection, I assure you. So thank you guys once again, Steve, Scott. We really, really appreciate all this. Really appreciate you being here, sharing your book with us, and to all the Van Halen fans. Corey, anything else before we head out?
You know, just www.podcastlerock.com. Get some show merch. Check out old episodes there. We got a big live show coming up September 30th, where we're going to be ranking Women and Children First. That's going to be a lot of fun. Sweet. Actually, while I got you guys on the call, if you want to be a part of that, just send me how you would rank the tracks on Women and Children's First. From 1 to 9. And then we're going to compile all the votes together. We got Greg Runoff sends in votes, Eric Senich from the Van Halen News Desk, Johnny Bean, a bunch of special guests, all of our patrons. We're going to compile all the votes, and we're going to have our official show rankings of Women and Children First. So if you guys want to be a part of that, just send me your rankings for that album. That's going to be a heck of a lot of fun. That'll be happening September 30th.
I'll give them to you now. Fine.
Okay, yeah, sure.
There you go.
Lay them on me.
That's a great album, man. That's a great album. No, seriously, that's a...
Love that album.
Oh, Fools, come on, man. I mean, Romeo's Delight, my goodness, you know?
Oh, yeah.
great album.
It's funny, we put up a poll every time we do a song, because we have a rating system. We judge the songs either What Dreams Are Made Of, which is a thumbs up, or The Dream Is Over, which is a thumbs down.
Oh.
And right now, Take Your Whiskey Home is our second highest rated song from the fans. Little Guitars is number one. Take Your Whiskey Home is number two.
What about somehow Little Guitars is number one.
What about Oh, that was a great song. I mean, that's such a great album, man. So,
it really is, yeah.
That's cool.
For sure.
Thanks for having us. We had a great time.
Yeah, guys. Thank you very much. I appreciate the kind words. And, I think Van Halen fans and fans of rock alike will love this book. I guarantee it. We haven't had a single return. We haven't had a single bad review. Like, it you'll be glad you did. And I'll take it back if you didn't. I didn't.
Oh, you won't.
No, I won't. But, no. But you can write me and explain, and maybe I'll give you a deal. I appreciate the Van Halen fans.
We point out, we tell people, if you get the book, send us a picture. If you want, we'll put it on the website. Because when you go to the website, you're going to see dozens of photos of people holding the book or posing with the book. And we just like to do that. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. And, you know, to that point, really quick, if you go to the, you know, your desktop computer and you look it up, you can obviously see more of the website, more of those photos, because we do have Dave Menichetti there and all these other fans from around the world. You know, we got an order. We joked the other day, the guy from Slovakia, and the guy was so jacked about the book. Oh, there you go. He was so jacked about the book because he didn't get anything. You know, you talk about Saskatchewan, them driving through. They didn't even land in his country. Like, so, you know, hats off to Radovan is his name. And he finally got his book after 2 months. It was in transit, but he just was overjoyed. And it was just such a cool thing. Like Steve and I said, we love hearing from the fans. We know that they're going to dig the book. Let us know what you think. We appreciate it.
Right on, absolutely guys. Do they guys picturesalive.net. Yeah, definitely check out all of that, you guys. As Corey said, www.podcastwillrock.com, all the previous episodes, all the merch stuff. Please do that. Share with your friends, share with your like-minded Van Halen individuals, tell them about this show and tell them about the book Pictures Alive, because again, it will fit your rock collection most handsomely. So on behalf of Corey, Scott, and Steve, we are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.